We're going to be in Luke this morning, Luke chapter 19. If you have your Bibles, you can whip that open to Luke 19. Now, some of you probably know this story well enough, you could do what I'm going to do this morning. But we're going to talk about Zacchaeus. And one of the interesting things about Zacchaeus is we're not actually told how short he was, but he was short enough to not be able to see over people. Now, I've been told that I'm not short, but I can assure you I'm not tall. And for a significant number of years, my doctor, I think he thinks he's a comedian, but he's been telling me that I'm not fat, I'm just short for my height, or am I short for my weight, you know. But you know what that's like. Well, some of you do. But I feel Zacchaeus' pain. I know what it's like not to be the tallest person in the crowd. I understand that for some of you, off the rack, you put it on. For me, off the rack usually means some kind of alteration. Top shelf usually means, I think that's a Latin word for out of reach. Carol and I have pretty tall cabinets in our kitchen, our new kitchen, and there's nothing on the top shelf because we don't have a ladder that tall to get up there. And horizontal stripes, I wear those and I kind of feel beach ballish. It's just how it is, you know? And I can always tell where the tall man is going to sit when I go to the theater or I'm at a play or a concert. Yeah, in the empty seat right in front of me. You know, and I go home and I have a stiff neck like this because I've been looking around him for the whole time. And what really makes it cool is if he's one that goes, you know, with the stuff, you know? And then, you get seasick. But Zacchaeus, we're talking about Zacchaeus, not me. But Zacchaeus is a man who had an issue or a relationship with a tree, which makes him part of the tremendous sermon series. And so we're in Luke chapter 19, and I'm going to start at verse 1 reading here. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd, and so he ran ahead, climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. So what we know already, just very simple stuff, is that Zacchaeus lived and worked in Jericho. He was the chief tax collector, or was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. He was rich. I was once audited 3 times in the same tax season. Isn't that exciting? There was the adding mistake. There was the we gave too much money this year mistake. And that's a red flag for the IRS because they don't believe people actually give money to that extent when you don't make that much money. And then there was the if the IRS audited him twice, we should. And that was what the state said. In the end, it was all good at the end. The fine was much bigger than the adding mistake. Our giving was proven to be legitimate, and the state came up empty. That made me laugh because they went through all that paperwork and they were wrong. But I tell you that because I think I understand how the people might have been thinking about and feeling about Zacchaeus. Now, by this particular point in Jesus' ministry where this scene takes place, his fame was traveling in front of him. And so people were actually waiting for him when he arrived on the scene. They would have lined the streets. The sick might have been dragged out and were there for him. But on this particular day, Zacchaeus was in the crowd. And all he wanted to do was catch a glimpse of this Jesus he had heard about. But like me at the theater or at the movies, he couldn't see over the people in front of him. But the text seems to tell us, or at least imply, that in addition to being rich, Zacchaeus was a very clever man. You see, he figured out where Jesus was coming, how he was probably going to pass through town, and he went ahead of him. He went ahead of him down the road, and he found a tree that would give him a view of Jesus so that he could catch a glimpse of this Jesus that he had heard about. Now, I think a picture explains why a sycamore fig tree might have been his chosen tree. I think even I could climb those kind of trees. But the next picture tells us that it might have been uncomfortable for him. And if it was fig season, it probably would have been messy. You see, the figs, they actually grow on little stalks that just pop out of the branches, the stalk, or the right out of the bark. And so that's what he climbed up. Now, this is just, I guess, a point of connection for us, first century to 21st century. But Zacchaeus is like a whole lot of people that you and I know. They're curious about Jesus. Now, we might not get that right away because, you know, we're talking about church, or we might be telling them they're living in sin, or we might be talking about our theology or Bible study. They're not interested in that. But they are curious about Jesus. They're curious about Jesus. And so, you know, this morning, if you're thinking, oh, I just need something from the sermon to take home with me, that's the thing I'd suggest you take home with you. That people you know are probably curious about Jesus. And so I would suggest that when you start talking about spiritual stuff, start with Jesus. They're going to be much more interested in Jesus than your church. They're definitely going to be more interested in Jesus than your theology. And, well, they're probably less interested about how you feel about their lifestyle, but they're curious about Jesus. And it's probably why the Alpha program has done so well, because they talk about Jesus, and they use the Bible. They don't bring theology in right away. They wait until they've got a foundation built. And you and I probably have anecdotal stories of times where talking about Jesus was okay, but anything else was kind of off the table. Now, did I mention that Zacchaeus was a tax collector? He was. And he was very, very wealthy. And you got to think about this. His pay, he probably, and we don't know exactly, but we assume that he had some kind of a salary or a cut or a percentage of what he collected from the people. But his salary was augmented by whatever else he could collect from people above and beyond what his job said he had to do. And apparently he was very good at it. Today we would call that extortion. But that's what he did, and that's how he got very, very wealthy. And I need you to hold that thought. Extortionist. Just kind of hang on to that. Verse 5. When Jesus reached the spot, now that would be the spot under the tree where Zacchaeus is hanging on that branch, okay? So when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. And so he, that would be Zacchaeus, came down at once and he welcomed him gladly. So here's the picture I have in my mind. We have a grown man. He's probably in something like a robe. I know we use bed sheets and stuff when we do plays at church. But he's got some kind of robe on, full-length robe. And he's probably going to have some kind of a sash because he's marked out as a tax collector, and they needed to stand out a little bit so that you knew who to avoid in the crowd. And he's up in this tree, and he's clinging to a branch. Now, I've never worn a dress. So I don't know what that's like to hang in a tree. I have climbed trees. But that's the picture I have in my mind. And if I was a gambling person, I'm not, I would wager that Zacchaeus, his goal was not to make a scene. He's already a scene wherever he goes. People probably laughed. Look at the little short tax collector. He just wanted a glimpse of Jesus. But here he is. He is the center of attention. Is that Jesus? He always seems to know. Zacchaeus had kind of got himself up in that tree above the crowd, and everybody else is missing him. But Jesus walking along with the crowd, and he's healing, and he's talking, he's touching the kids, and he's doing his thing, and he stops. You, come on down. And so now Zacchaeus is the center of attention. And Jesus didn't just say hello. I mean, how many people do you walk by a day and you just say hello as you're going by? He called them by name. There is power in a person's name. He says, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your home today. Not only did he make him the center of attention, not only did he make him climb down the tree with everybody watching, but he invited himself over for dinner. Okay, live streamers, you need to participate in what's about to happen. But I'm going to have a group activity right now. And let me explain what we're going to do, and then you're all going to do it, okay? Shake your heads, yes. Yes, that's good. So what I need you to do, I'm going to give you like 5 or 6 seconds to think about, how did Jesus catch your attention? How did Jesus catch your attention? Zacchaeus was in a tree, and Jesus just called him by name. I was dating a girl in high school, and her dad introduced me to Jesus. But I need you to think about that. Got something? Okay, I need you to turn. Don't get up. Just turn to a person near you. I'm going to come down for you, Jim. And if you could turn toward them. What I need you to do is in one sentence, that's like one sentence, one verb, one subject, I need you to tell that person next to you how Jesus got your attention. Go ahead and do that. How many people learn something new about the person near them? Isn't this amazing? And they're still going at it. They're in paragraphs now, Sean. Paragraphs. So, from his quiet, hidden perch to see Jesus, Zacchaeus is now the story. And I love that Zacchaeus said yes. And we read, he welcomed him gladly. That was verse 6. And probably, as my research revealed, there were other people that came with Jesus. Now, we need to know, now, we're hospitable people, but we're not hospitable like they were in the first century. There's two things that we don't do. Now, Carol and I ran into this. We had relationships with Chinese students at the University of Delaware while we were doing church planting. And we discovered pretty quickly on, when you invited a Chinese student to come for dinner, whoever was with him also came. And they would just show up at your door, and we'd go, and Carol would go, more chairs, Les. But that would happen here. And so Jesus probably had an entourage with him as he was traveling from town to town. There might have been some of the women that were in his life who were supporting his ministry. His disciples might have been there. Might have been a couple people he had healed that had been tagging along. And they would have all gone to Zacchaeus' house. But there's this other thing, and I almost bet this has never happened at anybody's house here, is back then, research tells us, that homes were open to people not invited to the meal. So they would have been gathered in their room, kind of leaning around their low table, on their pillows, doing their thing around the table, and lining the walls, leaning in the windows and the doors would have been people not invited. But they would have been there to hear what was going on, and it's kind of like the local newspaper that they didn't have. This is how stuff got around to the other people. And that scene in your mind is how that woman was able to infiltrate a dinner party for Jesus and anoint his feet. She was just probably one of the people in the crowd. Just one of the people in the crowd. You can read that in Mark 14, but you can do that later, not while I'm preaching. But what happened next seems to be more common than we would want to believe. Because we want to believe good things about one another and other people who know Jesus like we do. But what happened next in the story here is that some people got upset with Jesus because he chose to hang out with somebody who didn't believe. Somebody who was on the outside. That's a terrible thing, isn't it? And yet that's what happened here. Verse 7. All the people saw this, that is Jesus with Zac, and they began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. Now, when we read that, the first thing that comes to us is we get a feel for Zacchaeus' status in the eyes of the public. It wasn't too good. I mean, he's got a whole bunch of strikes against him. He's a little guy, so he's the brunt of jokes. He's a tax collector, and, well, I think people feel about tax collectors today just like they did then. But we also see here this negative reaction of the people, and not just the people, but the people who were following Jesus, the people who would have fit under the religious umbrella. These are the ones we're talking about here. They got upset when Jesus acted on his mission, I have come to seek and save the lost. And they got upset when he went and actually did that. I'm guessing some of you have experienced something similar to this. Carol and I were hanging out with a number of couples when we were first married. And when we got to the point in our journey as a couple and we knew we were going to do, we were going to wrap up seminary, we were going to head into ministry. And there was another couple that did the exact same thing at the exact same time. We watched people pull away from us. You know, it's possible. It is possible to be too excited about Jesus for some of our other church friends. And this is what was going on here. Some of these people thought Jesus was too serious about his mission. I have another take home for you. First one was lead with Jesus. And the second one is what we see here in this verse. Be a friend like Jesus. Be a friend of those who do not know him yet. Because it's in those relationships where we're most likely to have an opportunity to introduce them to Jesus. Now, in our account, Jesus apparently impressed Zacchaeus. Notice verse 8. But Zacchaeus stood up, no one noticed, but Zacchaeus stood up and he said to the Lord, look, Lord. Carol, they didn't laugh that time. Okay. Let's do it again. Zacchaeus stood up, no one noticed. Yeah, okay, great. And he said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now. I just got it. The live streamers all got it before you did. Here and now I give half of my possession to the poor, and if I have cheated, and he knew he had, if I had cheated anybody out of anything, I will give them four times the amount. Now, the really cool thing about what we just read in those verses is lives change around Jesus. Lives change around Jesus, and we see two kinds of change here. There were some who seemed to be solidified in their distancing from him. And some of them were even religious people. They backed off because he was actually doing why he came to earth. And then there were others like Zacchaeus who surrender their wounded heart. I'm betting that's most of you. That's what happened to us when we got close to Jesus. We opened our heart. And he began the process of healing us. In this moment, Zacchaeus knew he needed to change. It went from climbing a tree to catch a glimpse of this guy who made the front page of the Jericho newspaper every evening, to being the center of attention, to being humbled before this man and wanting to make his life right. That is amazing. And we're pretty sure, based on the text, verse 9 will help us, that he became a believer. He became a believer in what was being said about Jesus, what Jesus was saying about Jesus. And wherever you are on that, there's a whole bunch of scholars that think he was just exposed to salvation. But however you read that, he definitely was changed. It says he gave away half of his possessions. That's not a 10% tithe. That's half, 50%. One out of every two things he had, he gave away. And he promised to make right by four times anybody he had cheated. Repayment with interest. Now I wonder this morning, how has Jesus changed your life? How has Jesus changed your life? What have you made available to God? How have you made your life available to God? And I'm talking about things like money, your things, your time, your abilities, your presence, your voice. You sounded amazing this morning singing with the children. That was an offering of worship. And your future. It's easy to give God right now because this is what we do every Sunday morning, isn't it? But are you willing, before you leave today, to tell God that he gets tomorrow too? He can actually have Tuesday? Not Wednesday, because that's bowling night. But Thursday, you know, are we willing to do that? And can you measure the joy that you've experienced because you've done that? On the other hand, what have you been withholding from Jesus? The same list. Your money, your things, your time, your ability, your presence, your voice, your future. I've actually been told by every Sunday church people, well, I don't sing because I don't have a good voice. God gets up every morning. He can't wait to hear our voice. Well, he never sleeps, but we've got something wrong going on there when we think that way. And when we think about the things that we've been withholding, the question I have for us is how painful has that been? Knowing that we're holding something back. Listen, if you will, to the rest of the story here. Verse 9. Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Now, whether he was saved or exposed to salvation, I want to believe he found a new life. And Jesus actually announced that this man is a son of Abraham, a child of Abraham. And we know Abraham to be a man of... Can't hear you.
Faith.
Yes, he's a man of faith, and Zacchaeus was now a child of faith. And in this verse, in these two verses here, Jesus gives his mission statement: to seek and save the lost. To seek and save. That's why he came. Now, while he was here, he did a whole bunch of other stuff. He healed people. He fed people. He showed you and me, as we read the text of the Gospels, how to live daily life, because he was a man just like us, a person just like us. At the end of the day, most of us here, maybe all of us here, we so badly want to believe we are the apple of God's eye, that he smiles when he looks at us, that he's pleased with what we've done, that he's happy this morning that we're here in this church building, gets all excited when we say no to sin, because we gave something to the poor. And we are the apple of God's eye. But not because of anything we've done. It's because we are. It's because we are. That's why we're the apple of his eye. That's why he sent his son Jesus. Because he was so excited about Jim. He sent Jesus to rescue Jim. And the rest of us get to go along with him. We are the apple of God's eye. The doing that we do, that's just a bonus. I think it pleases the Father to see his Son lived out through our lives. I believe the Father gets excited when his ideal that we be his Son's hands and feet actually plays out in our daily lives. And it pleases the Father when we love one another, when we love others, when we talk about Jesus. You know, I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor of this church. I would love to think you were inviting people to church, but there's something I would rather you do: talk with people about Jesus. You see, I know statistically, they are curious about Jesus. You can get to church later. But talk with people about Jesus. Just Jesus. As we end, let me ask you those two questions I just asked again. What have you made available to God? You know what you involve: your stuff, your time, your abilities, the spiritual gifts that he's given you with his Spirit. What have you given to God? Are you able to measure the joy in that giving? What are you withholding? And how painful is that? Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we get that Zacchaeus is just not a cute little song the kids sing. This is an amazing lesson about how to do daily life. Father, I want to be curious enough about you and Jesus and the Spirit that if I could reach the branches, I would climb up a tree to see you. I would wish the same for my friends here. I pray that we would not only be curious about Jesus, but that we would want to feed others' curiosity. And so as we leave this morning, Father, I pray that you would inspire us, empower us, give us eyes to see moments where Jesus fits in the conversation. And then give us a boldness to say, but Jesus said, or Jesus did, that we might respond and see what Jesus saw happen to Zacchaeus. Use us, Father, we pray, in his powerful name. Amen.